Then the next thing he bought was a 29 A model Ford.
How much did that cost?
Some man that worked at the steel plant went and bought it and used it about a couple of years, and he got killed in the plane. Burned something, killed him. His wife couldn't drive, and there wasn't much demand. Nobody had money to buy him. But Daddy went down there and paid $265 for it. And it was just almost good as new.
What about gas? How much did that cost?
It was from a dime to 12, 13 cents a gallon. And we used to, every once in a while, Daddy would let us have the car and go somewhere. Two or three of us boys would, and some of us put two or three pennies in. If you got a dime, you could get a gallon of gas. That old 8 miles go a long way. And I drove up to the store up there. If you got gas in a, and it had a jug, measuring jug up on top of the stand, you pump the gas up to the mark. It said that it'd hold 5 gallons. And the man guess it, how much it would hold. And I'd drive up there and he'd be some, have some customers in the store. Wait a minute, let me get this dime tank out of the way out here. Go out and put a dime with the gas. He was A.W. Lumpkin. He was a good old man. Taught a lot of the kids. Get a Coca-Cola for a nickel. Great big sack of candy for a nickel.
Well, Grandma, you said you knew somebody who had a motorcycle.
That was his uncle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But didn't you say Papa would ride it at your dad?
Uh-huh. Dennis's uncle had a motorcycle. And he was good friends to my daddy. And he'd come and get him and ride him around on that motorcycle. That was before we ever bought a car. Our first car was a Chevrolet, a brand new one, and it cost $500. We freighted it in on a freight car to Altoona.
That was the 26 model Chevrolet, right?
I don't know. I don't think it was. But it had curtains. Instead of having glasses for windows, it had curtains. And we thought we were really something. When we got in that car going down the road, of course, didn't everybody have a car, but everybody wanted to ride, Papa would let them ride.
Man, when I was about, I guess it was about 10, 11 years old, Lim Payne, a next door neighbor, bought him a T-model Ford, brand new one. And at that time, they worked the road with a grader with a big old caterpillar pulling it. The caterpillar run up the road, and the grader reach out and ditch and pull it. So every time we heard this man crank up his, the graded road, you know, that day or day or so before, with sandy and gravel and ditch and pull it out real good. Every time this fellow would crank up his car, we found out he's going somewhere, we'd run and get out there and ride back down to the house with him. That tickled him. He liked that. So I was running out there one day and got on. He lived about a half a mile from us. And I was riding it back, come over the hill, down a little flat, around a little curve. Just before we got to our place, there was this grader. It pulled out the road. This big man said, "Now, don't you jump off there till I stop." You don't have to stop. I just stepped off backwards and I went rolling down that ditch just like a ball. I didn't think about the ground standing still and then moving.
How fast did those cars go?
Oh, it was running about 30, 35 miles an hour, but I guess he must have been going about 10 miles an hour when I stepped off.
Good. Well, you said that you went to Texas. Why did you decide to leave Alabama and go to Texas?
When our first baby was born, she began to have asthma, and the doctors told her there wasn't nothing they could do for it. And we had another friend, and a couple that had moved to Texas on account of their kid. Her her uncle lived out there. And they went out there to visit him, and the kid didn't have any asthma. So they moved out there, and he stopped, and he still lives in Texas and doesn't have any asthma, you know. So we drove out there one time to visit and see them. When we get on the cat rock, she didn't have any asthma. So went back the third time. We thought, well, if it's going to cure that away, we'll just move out there. So we gave up the job and moved out. Worked at the filling station about 10 months, then moved out on a big cattle ranch. And worked, run the cattle ranch for the woman. Raised cattle and wheat. We didn't know what money was, so we moved back.
So you had a lot more money there than you did in Alabama?
Yeah. We accumulated up enough. We stayed about 6 years. And she developed in the gathering the wheat, there's a lot of dust to it. And she began to have another type of thing. The doctor told her she might ought to get out of that dust, it would cause the TB asthma. So we went to Arizona, back up through Canada, and we didn't find anything there. Both her daddy and mother still living. It was in 49, so we moved back here. So we were kind of homesick anyway. Planted for 15 bales of cotton in the boll weevil year. That was the year of the boll weevil, 1950. And we gathered 3 bales of cotton. So I had to do something, and I couldn't keep going. And that's when we moved down here for a while.
You moved it. Now, between, how did you get down here? You met Mr. Major? You worked at a gas company?
Well, see, I moved gas some out in the panhandle there. I knew, learned propane gas, how to install it, put it in while we lived out there. When it came back and went down one day to buy some parts from get a bottle of gas and some parts from a cook stove, we won't know who's going to cook it up. And I told him, he said, what do you know about it? And he found out that I knew how to do that. And he got actually to go to work with it. Well, I couldn't because I bought a new tractor and made all this crop and had some cattle. And when we didn't gather any cotton, made pretty good corn, but no cotton, I had to do something. 3 bales of cotton wasn't enough to hardly pay for the fertilizer. He, one day he said, I bought an old farm down in Calhoun County. Then another fellow went havers, and he fell down on the pavement and said, I need some help. I've got a little money. If you'll go down there, I'll furnish your money if you'll do the work. And that's how we got started.
Okay, when you got here, it was just a bunch of rocks, right? You couldn't start farming right away, could you?
Well, yeah, they was some good farming land. It's just rocky, dirty soil. But we fertilized it and started working. I had it.
Yeah, he ate it too. It belonged to him. He gave it back to the Indians. They were on the best or nothing but told the rest of the world to get it.
The county agent, and I will not call the county agent's name, but he was a good friend. He asked him to come out one day and look at it and see sort of how it was. We hadn't planted all the crops in. He walked around and looked at it a little bit. He's used to these big, level, sandy farms. He looked at it and he said, well, I tell you, if it's me, I'd be ashamed to give it back to the Indians. I just walk off and leave it. Well, this man that kind of, he had a little money, he said, told me, he said, I want to make something out of it now. I'm going to spend some money to show him. Well, the way they talked, there wasn't no way that a fella could live, make his living out here on the farm. We started in 1950, and still here in 96. Raised 3 kids, sent them through school, a little bit of college, 6 grandkids, 7 great grandkids. It's not any death yet.
Well, when you moved out here, there was no electricity,
no
water. And Grandma, you said the house was in pretty rough shape. What did you have to do to fix the house?
Well, it was in a bad shape. because the people who had lived here didn't have any screen doors.
It was only 2 years old, the house.
And the lumber that they built it out of and filled it with had wormholes, cracks in it. And I took one look at it and I thought, I will never move in that house. And so finally they kept talking to me, and finally I said, well, I'll have to clean it up before I consent to move in. If I clean it up, okay, and if I can't, I won't. So I took a, I got me some hot water, put red devil eye in it, and killed the bed bugs in the cracks in the bedroom.
And what was that other term? What was that other word you call the bed bugs?
Chinches.
Chinches, yeah.
And then I asked paint to paint it with, and Mr. Major bought me the paint. Before I painted the walls, though, I looked up and seen the ceiling, and you couldn't put your finger down without getting it on the dust and fly stick. So I had a table. I stood up on that table with a tub full of soapy water and a brush and scrubbed that ceiling down. Then I painted the whole thing over in those den. I wasn't in the, well, I didn't paint it for a month in because I had to come down here to work and we just moved in. But that's what we had anyway. And a few years later, we got ceiling tape and put over the ceiling and put paneling on the walls. And put in some new basins and made a very presentable place out of it.
It is.
It certainly does look like it did the day we come down here.
And you didn't have any water, electricity. You had to go to the mill branch to get water, didn't you?
But there's a well here, but unfortunately it didn't have much water. We soon drawed it out of the bucket full and we was empty. And then we had a pickup truck with two big barrels in it. We'd go to mill branch and dip up water and put in them barrels and bring it to the house to use. And one, my daddy was in the hospital with a milk in about 16 cows. And we overslept one morning and called me and said to bring my mother over there. They didn't expect my daddy to be up. So I told Dennis to take her and I stayed here and milked the cows. And went and filled them barrels up by the time I got to the house. There was frozen water all over them barrels. All that I had spilled, it just froze solid. It was so cold. And I milked all 16 of them cows and got the milk ready for the milkman to pick it up.
And you milked by hand, didn't you?
Yeah, by hand.
Because you didn't have electricity. And then you just had a third baby, right? Third child. So you had three children that were...
Yeah, we had three children, but it was, they were in school.
Okay.
And we didn't keep them out for anything.
I couldn't understand why, when we lived in Texas, we lived on the range, 1,600 acres of it. And you could see from one side to the other, you could see 8 miles from the pens, how level it was and how pretty it was. We had good pickups, good tractors, everything.
Had a modern house,
water, gas, electricity, and everything in it, and all that paid for. We had a good job, good place. But the woman decided she was going to sell out. She got old and she wanted to sell the moon. So that's whenever she began to have the hay fever. It's the bad one. Left there. Came down here in this house. You heard her describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we come down here? We still don't know. But Mr. Major died in 63. And we either had to buy it all or none. They wouldn't spread it up to sell it. Finally, they sold it to us. And now then, we're living here, and all the grandkids and kids on the farm here have accumulated up to 800 acres. So I reckon it seems like home today. And the girl that's describing this over here was born and raised out here, and I think she'd be looking home.
Yes, I do. Let's see.
moving then.
Oh.